This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to another episode of Echoes of Dissent, a weekly podcast that explores the events, the movements, the beliefs and the personalities. In short, the why a song of protest, a song of dissent was written and sung, and who created it. We look at its impact at the time and its relevance to today, if any. My name is Frank Carter, and today we go back to 1649 England, a land torn by civil war, when a small group of men started a peaceful protest, and this was the key, a peaceful protest against private ownership of land. They planted parsnips, carrots and beans on what was once common land, but had been enclosed for private profit. Today we look at the Digger's Song, lost to history until the only copy was discovered in 1890 at Worcester College, Oxford, revived in 1988 by Chumbawamba, and again in 2001, both periods of turmoil.
You noble diggers all, stand up now, stand up now. You noble diggers all, stand up now. The wasteland to maintain, see cavaliers by name. Your digging does maintain, and persons all defame. Stand up now, stand up now. Your houses they pull down, stand up now, stand up now. Your houses they pull down, stand up now. Your houses they pull down to fright your men in town, but the gentry must come down and the poor shall wear the crown. Stand up now, diggers all. With spades and hoes and ploughs, stand up now, with spades and hoes and ploughs, stand up now. Your freedom to uphold, seen cavaliers are bold, to kill you if they could, and rights from you to hold, stand up now, diggers all. The gentry are all round, stand up now, stand up now. The gentry are all round, stand up now. The gentry are all round, on each side they are found, their wisdom so profound, to cheat us of our ground. Stand up now, stand up now. The lawyers they conjoin, stand up now, stand up now. The lawyers they conjoin, stand up now. To arrest you they advise, such fury they devise. The devil in them lies, and hath blinded both their eyes. Stand up now, stand up now. The clergy they come in, stand up now, stand up now. The clergy they come in, stand up now. The clergy they come in and say it is a sin that we should now begin our freedom for to win. Stand up now, diggers all. Gainst lawyers and gainst priests, stand up now, gainst lawyers and gainst priests, stand up now. For tyrants they are both, even flat against their oath, to grant us they are loath, free meat and drink and cloth, stand up now, diggers all. The club is all their law, stand up now, the club is all their law, stand up now. The club is all their law, to keep poor men in awe, but they no vision saw, to maintain such a law, stand up now, diggers all.
That's the Digger's Song, 1988, released by Chumbawamba, an anarchic punk folk group. And their particular style, we will look at the particular style they used later on in the programme. But this song was written at a time of civil war, Parliament versus the King, where the King was and supporters were saying the King has the divine right to say what he likes. But people are saying, hang on a minute, I'm not quite sure about this. So among this all this turmoil, we have Gerard Winstanley, who was leading a group called the Diggers, or termed themselves the Diggers, because they were digging common land to plant their parsnips, their carrots, their beans. Their belief basically that was that the land should belong to everyone, not private landlords. Economic inequality was unjust, and true freedom meant shared access to land and resources. That's the fundamental, the three very basic concepts that they were looking at. So in 1649, they began to peacefully plant their vegetables on St. George's Hill in Surrey, declaring it free for the poor to farm. They were peaceful, but it had already been taken by a local landlord. It had been common land, but it had been taken. So the Diggers' song served as their sort of manifesto. And the themes of the song are common ownership of land, equality and anti-enclosure politics, rejection of the monarchy and landlordism. And also they went to biblical justification for social justice. Jumbo won't be left out the last verse, which we'll look at later on in the programme. Now, why does this song matter? The Diggers' song is significant because it predates 1649. It predates modern socialism, you know, the Marxist thinking and so on, by nearly 200 years. It connects religious thinking with radical and democracy. And it demonstrates how music has long been used as a political tool. This was 400 and something years ago, 400, nearly 470 odd years ago. It stands as an early example of how song can bring together the revolutionary ideas and mobilised marginalised communities. Let's look at this powerful call to action, with each verse highlighting a different oppressor. And they had a go at most of them, most of the big ones, the gentry, the lawyers and the clergy, before culminating in a final message of defiant but peaceful resistance. They're defying the authorities, the gentry, the lawyers, the clergy. But at the end, they bring in the peaceful resistance. Let's have a look at verse 1, the first verse.
You noble diggers all, stand up now, you noble diggers all, stand up now. The wasteland to maintain, see cavaliers by name, your digging does maintain, and persons all defame, stand up now, stand up now.
This stand up now, of course, is the repeated chorus throughout the song. It's calling for people to stand up and resist. Put their hands up, stand up. How are you going to show that you're protesting, other than by standing up and saying, look, this is where I am? Standing up now is a rallying cry for political action. And of course, the Cavaliers refers to the royalist elites or the landowners. And the verse suggests that by cultivating land collectively together, the diggers are challenging the authority and the reputation, the actual reputation of the ruling class. Now let's have a look, listen to verse 2.
Your houses they pull down, stand up now, stand up now. Your houses they pull down, stand up now. Your houses they pull down to fright your men in town, but the gentry must come down and the poor shall wear the crown. Stand up now, diggers all.
And this actually relates what did happen. Within 12 months, the local landlords and gentry and nobility and whatever brought in the soldiers, rooted all the vegetables, and of course tore down the houses. That's what happened. The stuff, everything was, and they were gone. The line about the gentry must come down, however, this verse does bring in the biblical concept. This is the New Testament. The poor shall inherit the earth. And it predicts proposes a social reversal where the poor will gain power. verse 3, the third verse.
With spades and hoes and ploughs, stand up now, with spades and hoes and ploughs, stand up now. Your freedom to uphold, seen cavaliers are bold, to kill you if they could, and rights from you to hold, stand up now, diggers all.
This, of course, shows or demonstrates that all they have is the tools of their labour, the spades and the hoes and the ploughs that they are using to demonstrate their peaceful resistance, their peaceful belief that that land belonged to them. And they are out there working and digging. They were called the diggers. They were digging and ploughing and using God's resources and the simple resources. They were not there to attack anybody. So the verse accuses the elites of holding, suppressing the diggers and stripping them of their rights. The diggers, of course, considered that all are equal under God and all have equal rights to freedom and the resources that are available. Verse 4.
The gentry are all round, stand up now, stand up now. The gentry are all round, stand up now. The gentry are all round, on each side they are found, their wisdom so profound, to cheat us of our ground. Stand up now, stand up now.
There is, of course, a degree of sarcasm in this. The gentry are all around, the ruling class is everywhere, and constantly taking land from the poor. But then, of course, comes the sarcasm. It mocks the supposed intelligence of the elite, who use clever schemes, use the law, to dispossess ordinary people who do not. They use their education, they use the law, their knowledge, their networks to dispossess or to take advantage, to manipulate people who are getting on with their lives and do not have that education, that knowledge and those networks. So what the men are, the ruling class is manipulating the system to maintain control.
The lawyers they conjoin, stand up now, stand up now. The lawyers they conjoin, stand up now. To arrest you they advise, such fury they devise. The devil in them lies and hath blinded both their eyes. Stand up now, stand up now.
This is probably not a difficult one, but in those days, of course, the lawyers were, I mean, like anybody, the lawyers were in business. They use the law, they apply the law, and they use their negotiation skills. And that's the major skill of lawyers, of course, is negotiation skills to support the people who pay the bills. So, of course, the lawyers are collaborating and working with the wealthy, who can afford to pay them, to invent and develop those legal arguments to justify the oppression. This obviously reflects the distrust of the legal institutions, and the law is portrayed as a tool used to defend property and power. Nothing to do with justice. Is the law is about property, maintaining the property and power. Justice is not even a consideration.
The clergy, they come in, stand up now, stand up now. The clergy, they come in, stand up now. The clergy, they come in and say it is a sin that we should now begin our freedom for to win. Stand up now, diggers all.
And this may be surprising. The church leaders at the time felt that the diggers' call for all resources under God, if you like, the claiming land was actually sinful. And how does that work? Well, of course, we're still looking at a time when there was divine right of kings. So, of course, if there was a divine right of kings, the clergy are on that, you know, on that side. So naturally, if the working class, the agricultural class, the working people, the poverty, the people who are trying to take the land from people who have the divine right to it, well, clearly the clergy are not being very are saying that, you know, this is sinful. You're taking away from people who, by divine right, own this. Next verse, we go.
Against lawyers and against priests, stand up now, against lawyers and against priests, stand up now. For tyrants they are both, even flat against their oath, to grant us they are loath, free meat and drink and cloth, stand up now, diig-ers all.
Oh, there's a line, for tyrants. He's having a go at the priests and the clergy and the lawyers, of course. And there's a line there, for tyrants are even flat against their oath. Their oaths, of course, would have been to defend the rights of people, to defend justice, to bring equal justice to all and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is not that they weren't. The song is accusing the clergy and the lawyers of betraying their moral responsibilities. There is a call for free meat and drink and cloth, suggests that the society should provide basic needs for everyone. Well, actually, we're probably getting fairly close to that. But we'll have a look at the impact towards the end of the programme. But that's an interesting one in 1649. I don't think they're asking for handouts, because they're in there digging. But what they're saying is that by our hands, by our work, we should be entitled to the infrastructure to get this meat and drink and cloth. Last verse.
The club is all their law. Stand up now, the club is all their law. Stand up now, the club is all their law, to keep poor men in awe. But they no vision saw to maintain such a law. Stand up now, diggers all.
Here we are. When all else fails, when the lawyers can't persuade people to change, when the clergy can't persuade people, the club. It's the soldiers that come in and move everybody out. That's it. End of story. Probably doesn't change very much. But they have no vision. No vision to maintain the law. There we are. The final verse says the rulers are ultimately rely on force, the club, to keep people obedient. There we are. Now, Chumbawamba did leave out the final verse. And this is a twist, if you like, but it also reinforces the peaceful nature of the protest, which, like most peaceful protests, was met by violence. The final verse, which has not been recorded. To conquer them by love, come in now, come in now. To conquer them by love, come in now. To conquer them by love, as it does you to behove. For he is king above. No power is like to love. Glory here, diggers all. So there is the turnaround, the end. Look, we're here peacefully. We would love to be able to give you all a big hug and let's get on with life equally together. The impact at the time. Yes, unfortunately, the diggers, this farming experiment lasted less than a year. Local landowners harassed them, destroyed the crops, used legal pressure and soldiers, of course, to drive them off the land. But while the movement was suppressed, it became one of the earliest organised expressions of agrarian communism. I mean, we are probably closer to the beginning of the Marxist theories and whatever, again, Gerard Winsell and the diggers were. We're closer to socialism than they were. But this is one of the earliest organized expressions of agrarian communism and socialist thought. So the song, the movement was lost until a manuscript, one single manuscript, was discovered in 1890 in Worcester College in Oxford University. One manuscript. And it's from that manuscript that Chumbawamba and a number of other people have recorded the song, imagining what it might have been like in 1649. But what of the long-term influence? Since its discovery, it has inspired socialist and cooperative movements. It's cited by the 19th century radicals and early Marxists. There is actually a commemoration on a memorial plinth in Moscow to Gerard Winstanley as a forward thinker. And it was revived. This song was revived under thinking in the 1960s and 70s counterculture movement. Chumbawamba recorded this modern version in 1988 on the album English Rebel Songs 1381 to 1914. And again in 2001 on the album English Rebel Songs 1381 to 1984 because they wanted to update the Rebel Songs to include things like the coal miner strike and current issues. So 1988, what was going on and why was it brought back to life? This was the Thatcher era, the fairly right-wing social, economic, financial turmoil of the Thatcher era. In America, they had the Reagan. Here we had the Roger Douglas. Complete changes to our financial and economic system. The coal mines were being closed, steel plants were being closed, shipyards, major, major traditional industries were being closed. There was confrontation with the trade unions. Every effort was being made to remove or reduce to negligible the power of trade unions to negotiate on behalf of workers. So whole areas of the country were devastated because people had no work. Towns and cities were dependent entirely on coal mines, shipyards, have gone. There was mass unemployment, devastation of local communities, and there's been long-term, the impact is long-term in regions like South Wales, Scotland and Northern England. At the time also, the similar things were going on, the deregulation of finance. There was tax cuts for the majority of tax cuts with the people who had already big earners, top earners. There was a long-term shortage of affordable social housing for the poorest. There was rhetoric. There was condemnation of those, you know, belittling of those who were welfare recipients. So that was 1980s. In 1981, we saw the Bixton riots in Brixton and Toxteth and other inner city areas where there was deep-seated alienation, unemployment and discrimination against the black and the Asian communities, and hostile relationship with the police. So there was a time of social unrest, financial unrest, economic unrest, and riots. So this was an era when, again, large sections of the working classes were being deprived of the resources to provide for themselves and their families with dignity. Yes, there was an unemployment benefit, but it's so small, and it was being reduced. Yes, there was basic support so that you didn't actually starve. You could live on bread and dripping. But the dignity of being able to provide and go out and be proud of the job you can do, that was being taken away from many communities. But interestingly, Chumbawamba was also protesting against their anarcho-punk community by challenging what constituted protest music. Protest music, of course, is very loud. The Sex Pistols, all the funk stuff that was coming out of there, it was loud anarchy. Chumbawamba changed this to the soft a cappella style, and they angered a lot of the people in the protest song movement. 2001 album brought it up to date, linking the struggles of the 17th century diggers right back to the 14th century peasants' revolt, again where taxes were being levied on people, and the linking it to the despised, utterly despised and very short-lived Thatcher poll tax, where everyone was going to be taxed just for living, just for being there. And the same tax was going to be on the poorest and the richest. It didn't last long. But the protest, massive protest, and of course this song would have been part of that protest, the demise, finally Thatcher was gone. This, we suggest, it suggested that it's part of that atmosphere. Chumbawamba mainly performed this song at folk clubs and small venues, reintroducing it to the contemporary brass boots audiences. Didn't do massive 50,000 people performances or concerts. They were going around. Is this appeal still relevant today? Is this song still relevant in 2026? And I think to ask this, we have to ask, do we still have communities, family size, large, urban, or diverse communities, families and communities that are working hard, doing what they can, trying really hard but struggling and constantly marginalised by the unbalanced distribution of a nation's wealth. By poverty, yes, they get a minimum to get by, the bread and dripping kind of stuff, and marginalised housing, marginalised few opportunities. But are there groups? We'd ask ourselves, is the song still relevant? Are there families, are there communities that it could refer to? If you believe this equality, this unbalanced distribution of the nation's wealth persists, its song and its call up to stand up now remains as relevant today as it did in 1649. Thank you very much for listening. This program is available on podcast at freefm.org.nz, and we're looking forward to being back with you next week when we hear a very angry protest, a failed invasion, student deaths. We will be joining John Lennon and demanding the truth.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.